Welcome to the Goal Coach Podcast. If you're looking for coaching and content proven to set the stage for achieving what matters most at work and in life, you've come to the right place. Grab your favorite beverage, sit in a relaxing chair, and get ready for your host and his invited guests to get you out of your comfort zone and into the growth zone as they set the stage to help you achieve what matters most. And now, here is your host, Cesar Cavadoy, CEO of Playbook for Results, and your goal coach. All right, let's get into the growth zone.
Hey everyone, welcome to this week's Achieving What Matters Most podcast, episode 2, Facts versus Fiction. Why believing unsubstantiated claims is preventing people from becoming goal getters. My name is Cesar Cavadoy, and I am the goal coach. On today's podcast, I'm going to be talking about why I started the Goal Coach and my business consulting firm, Playbook for Results. Specifically, why it's important to let go of any limiting beliefs or presuppositions, and how to choose the right coach when it comes to achieving what matters most. The goal of today's podcast is to both acknowledge and address the impact that all those self-help guru programs and tools are having on our culture's ability to achieve what matters most, and also to answer the question that might be on your mind. Does the world really need one more so-called expert or self-help coach? But before we get started, I'd like you to take a moment to jot down a note to yourself, to visit my website, thegoalcoach.com, and then download the Top 5 Goal Setting Myths article. Over the next few podcasts, I'm going to be discussing these myths that many people, including myself, have fallen prey to and have believed. And as you'll hear me say often, beliefs determine behavior. And if those beliefs are driving the wrong behavior, well, that's exactly why I do what I do. You see, my goal is to help you to discern, to determine, and then to define the destination you want to reach. That could be a short-term, mid-term, or long-term goal. Maybe it's becoming a better steward of your finances, or getting a grip on your health or fitness, or being a better parent or more valued employee. Maybe it's a bit more personal. Maybe it's related to getting a grip on the most important relationships in your life. The key is to define where you want to go, destination, and then to discern the chances of getting there, or if you should even go there before you've determined to get on the ride. Speaking of rides, achieving what matters most is a lot like riding a roller coaster. You always have the option to get out of the line, even when you're strapped in and thinking to yourself, I want off this ride right now. Look, I've seen, as perhaps you have, grown men and women scream like little babies to get off the ride. And unless a ride operator is callous and mean, they typically will let you off the ride. But once they hit that red button, remember this, you don't get off the roller coaster in the middle of the ride, unless it seriously breaks down, all right? Well, goal getters, unlike goal setters, have a stick and stay and make it pay attitude. The goal getters understand instinctively and intuitively that pursuing what matters most means that you have to accept whatever comes your way. All the thrills, the angst, the surprise, those gut-wrenching twists, steep drops, loops, and ups and downs that come with seeing the goal to completion, they're accepted before they've determined to get on the ride. We're going to be discussing in upcoming podcasts more of the characteristics that, at least according to history, stats, and facts, define the goal getters and how they're different from the goal setters. Now, this is vitally important because, as my old mentor used to tell me, Cesar, there's always someone out there that does something better than you do. Getting close enough to watch puts you in the classroom, which gets us to the main point of this podcast. Are you trusting verifiable, irrefutable, objective facts or inconclusive, groundless, and questionable fiction? Think about the culture and the time that we're in and how much fake news, fake articles are out there. Well, in my article that I asked you to download as an action item, I reference a stat that has been propagated and cited across the internet by countless well-meaning bloggers, personal coaches, writers, TED Talkers, and every other garden variety self-help guru. The stat, which was purportedly affirmed in a study published in the University of Scranton Journal of Psychology in 2002, never actually affirms this number, that only 8% of people achieve their goals. Now, personally, me, having spent countless hours researching and reading more than my share of studies related to goal achievement rates, I am definitively stating that there is no definitive number. And here's the thing, do we really need a study, made up or not, to affirm what we already know? That the number of people who set resolutions and actually achieve them is relatively low. But should it be a foregone conclusion that there's also a 92% failure rate when it comes to achieving any type of goal? Take top salespeople, for instance, who either meet or exceed their sales goal every single month. They don't fail 92% of the time. If they did, they wouldn't be at the top of the leaderboard every single month. Here's a point. Look, when it comes to goals, regardless of the fact that there has never been a scientific study conducted on goal setting that conclusively supports that 8% stat, we know that very few people who set New Year's resolutions actually see them through. The core issue is that we've come to accept these so-called scientific studies as dogma, and therein lies the danger. Because the second that we start letting others discern what is right and wrong without challenging or examining the evidence, we're operating antithetically to what the innovators, inventors, artists, leaders, challengers have done throughout history to achieve what matters most to them. We essentially, in essence, stop thinking critically. And instead of blindly following some process or step-by-step plan that the writer, guru, or coach says is based on scientific data, becoming goal-getters demands that we start examining the veracity of the claims made by these so-called experts. Unfortunately, this culture that we live in, where we want bigger, better, new, and improved, it's desensitized us to the false claims. And only after we've spent countless hours reading or applying some proven method that touts exceptions to the rule or relies on distractions to the truth like backed by science claims, do we feel that post-purchase dissonance or buyer's remorse? I want you to remember what my old mentor told me. There's always someone that does something better than you do. Getting close enough to watch puts you in the classroom. Listen, if the so-called expert is incapable of modeling what they're asking you to buy into, or they can't prove that their model works outside of special circumstances and conditions that existed when it worked for them, then I would say it's just not worth our time or money. The self-help industry, speaking of money, is a $10 billion industry, which is expected to grow to $13 billion by 2022. It is a mostly predatory industry that is made celebrities out of people who have capitalized by exploiting our flaws and reinforcing our insecurities. And here's the industry's dirty little secret. For the most part, those people that they bring out as success stories, those who achieve some massive breakthrough, more than likely would have done it with or without their program. The model works by taking the exceptions to the rule and making us believe that the results they achieved are available to everyone. And here's the thing, there's arguably more self-help books and programs today than there were 20 years ago. More diet programs, pills, potions, contraptions, more blogs, podcasts, material on how to choose better partners, be in better relationships, articles on what to eat versus what not to eat. There's more advice on how to grow your business, turn around your business, and yet our business failure rates, our obesity rates, our relationship rates are continuing to get worse year after year. The simple question is why? Look, with all of this information and all of these so-called experts peddling their life advice, why then are we sadder, scared, and angrier than ever before? At least according to Gallup's annual Global State of Emotions report. Could it be that the 151,000 people that they interviewed in more than 140 countries be wrong, or perhaps they're not a good enough representation of the actual human condition? Come on. Keep in mind that the latest report is pre-COVID-19. And specific to the US, Americans are beating global averages in terms of stress and worrying. Not to mention, we're also a pretty angry bunch. Well, so much for the self-help industry and the so-called experts. By the way, clinical psychologists with their 100 plus years of empirical data and research and advanced proven psychotherapy techniques, they're not having that great of success either. In the interest of time, I'm not going to go into the hordes of studies that I've read that have been conducted on the efficacy rates of clinical or psychotherapy techniques. So I'll leave you with these two thoughts. The practitioners in these fields themselves have argued for nearly three decades on the standardized formulas when measuring the difference between reliable change or clinically significant change due to their treatment versus external factors. In a nutshell, they can't even agree to a simple definition of what success looks like. Second, trust your own instincts and intuition on this. Do you really need to read a biased report that touts empirical data to support an approach we already know isn't helping? It's no surprise to me that according to the doctorate recipients from the United States University's report, that the number of students earning PhDs in psychology, at least in terms of overall share of new PhDs, has been steadily decreasing for the past decade and a half. Look, we only need to look at our own culture, with more people on antidepressants suffering from overdoses at alarming rates, to know that the answers to helping people to focus and achieve what matters most, to get a grip on things, hasn't been solved by listening to the experts in the self-help or clinical realm. Okay, well, enough of the doom and gloom. I trust you get the point. The people who have set out to bend the trend, good intentions or not, at least according to recent history, stats, and facts, haven't had a strong record of bending the trend. Now, on the brighter side, we have this whole new generation that is rebelling against these so-called experts and gurus from the last century. Millennials. God love them. The generation that most of us wrote off as entitled or just wanting instant gratification are not interested in rah-rah, They want results. And fortunately, this group has matured to become a generation that wants to be judged on their results and not on the amount of time they've clocked in at work. Like all of us, they want to know that their life has purpose. And that's exactly what I do as a goal coach. I help people to discern what their passions are, the level of proficiencies in their passions, to ultimately discern whether they should pursue it as their God-given purpose. I love tennis and I love jazz, but my proficiency in both those areas would never allow me to support my household. So it's not my purpose. And here's the thing. Once you've examined, as I have, the known successful actions of those who've achieved what you want to do, I've developed a framework around a number of different areas that matter most to people. Relational, financial, business, nutritional, occupational. All of those areas are areas that, if you look closely at history, leave some specific clues around what you should do so you're not scaling conditions and circumstances. You're looking at your characteristics as a measurement, as a tool to be able to tell whether or not you should pursue that particular passion. Look, I'm just a guy who happens to have a rare sleeping disorder, who was sitting in an office 20 plus years ago trying to figure out why people fail at an alarming rate, at least when it comes to achieving the things that matter most. And after attending dozens upon dozens of workshops, reading countless books, and getting close enough to watch high performers in a lot of different disciplines, I came to this conclusion. Despite all the books written and all the tools available, what I found was that many of those approaches were just some newfangled tool, some new planner, some new process, and it wasn't what we really need. So you could have all the greatest tools, but if you don't have the right blueprint, we're not going to have very effective use of those tools. So I created one, a blueprint based on the known successful action of what the best in class across history have done to reach their goals consistently. What I found was that there were three things that caused people to achieve their goals. Number one, they were sold out to their cause. Number two, they were willing to pay the cost. And number three, they were coachable. The operative word here is coachable, and great coaches have a solid game plan, one that works regardless of circumstances and conditions or relies on great players carrying the burden for any type of flawed approach. Now, you may have been asking throughout the podcast, what makes you different from all these so-called experts, and why should I continue to subscribe to your approach? Look, a good coach connects the dots between common sense and common practice. A great coach, however, removes the obstacles and identifies the blind spots that are preventing that player from abandoning those common practices and sets the stage for the player to adopt a best-in-class approach, to use what I call a blueprint. A best-in-class approach is one that is aligned with the known successful actions and behaviors of what the greatest across history have done to achieve what matters most in all areas of life. What makes me different is that I'm not going to coach you something that worked for me that I'm hoping or going to try and convince you will work for you. I'm going to coach you on what history, stats, and facts says has worked regardless of conditions and circumstances and regardless of who the player is. Best practices or common sense may tell us that our goals need to be specific. Best in class says you have to be sold out to the cause and get specific on the why before you get to the what. Best practices says you make a list of the things you need to do to achieve your goal. Best in class demands that you understand the full cost of pursuing the goal before you invest any time or energy on any to-dos. Best practices says that you should write down your goals and assign a time and date in which you should achieve each step. Best in class says you need a coach holding you accountable to a framework that overcomes the obstacles that prevent most people from achieving their goals. So, do we really need one more self-help coach or so-called expert? Short answer, we don't. But having an advocate who can stay up late at night for you and examine evidence and figure out what's working and not working, separating the facts from fiction, at least when it comes to getting a grip on your health or relationships or starting a business or any other goal that matters most to you. Look, if I had access to someone like that, I think I'd view them as someone who could actually make a difference versus someone who's just out to make a dollar. You know, at the end of our life, we're all going to have things that we'll regret doing or not doing. And minimizing those regrets demands a better approach to achieving our resolutions. As your goal coach, I'm passionate about setting the stage for you to reach the top of your game across all of the roles you play in life, but more importantly, to help you to achieve what matters most right now. To that end, I have one action item for you. Well, two, when you count going to thegoalcoach.com and downloading the top 5 myths of goal setting. Here's the other action item. I want you to think about one goal that you set but didn't get, either by yourself or through some other tool, process, or methodology. And I'd like you to email me why you think it didn't come to pass. And as you're doing that, also list out the impact of not having achieved this. Maybe it's covered in the top 5 goal setting myths, maybe it's not. This action item is going to get you into the habit of doing what top goal achievers do. They use their resources well. Hey, I'm looking forward to helping you to get a grip on what matters most. I want to thank you for joining me on this week's podcast. Until next time, remember, getting a grip means letting go of anything and everything that matters least. And the thing that matters least is relying on fiction. Let's focus on those facts. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Goal Coach Podcast. For more information, please be sure to go to www.thegoalcoach.com. You can follow The Goal Coach on Twitter by going to twitter.com/thegoalcoach1. For information on leadership coaching and development, please visit the Playbook for Results website at www.pb4r.com. We look forward to you joining us next week for another episode of Achieving What Matters Most with your host, Cesar Cavadoy, your Goal Coach.